babu babu baba babu babu babam babu babu babam
Tech Tuesday. I'm going to start plugging in what it is in that between was, the baboobas.
I think that's good use of time management.
Thank you very much.
Well played, Wendy.
Thank you. It is a Tech Tuesday, and you know who we're going to talk to on the stream today.
I'm hoping it's Bridget Carey from CNET.
Ding, ding, ding. Bridget Carey, senior editor at CNET. You can go to CNET.com. Bridget, how are you?
Can I always have that intro? The little booby boo.
You like that? That's Emma Sumac, who died.
That's not why we play it.
No, that's not the reason.
It's Amy spelled backwards, Ema Sumac, and it's called Jungala, I believe.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's some beautiful music. Hey, earlier, Bridget, Wendy and I were discussing these robots that Facebook created that created their own language, and they had to shut them down because they were afraid that they would destroy the world. Did you hear this story at all?
A little bit overplayed, the whole afraid destroy the world. No. Art, you know, kind of gets carried away in the news a bit.
Yeah.
It sounds great, right? You know,
yeah.
Terminator, we all love that. Here's what happened. So Facebook, along with a lot of other companies, they're working on artificial intelligence to have, like, chatbots and whatnot kind of figure things out. And in their testing, some chatbots decided to start their own language. Well, it was like abbreviated nonsense version of English that was like, I guess, shortcuts to the computer. And this comes right as Zuckerberg and Elon Musk get into a little bit of, you know, a back and forth online about the dangers of AI, and Mark Zuckerberg saying, you know, Elon Musk, you're overstating it. That's irresponsible. And he's like, no, you don't understand. You don't get it. And so everyone's like watching, like, oh my gosh, these two tech titans are like battling it out over like doom and gloom of this. And suddenly, a couple days later, the program ends at Facebook. So everyone thinks it's because Facebook was scared. What happened, according to, if you really dig, you know, a little bit deeper in some of these reports, is that the whole nonsense language, it wasn't useful to Facebook's researchers. So they simply stopped it and reprogrammed it to only speak English. But it does show you some interesting things about how AI is sometimes trying to solve its own problems. And in this case, it was just trying to be more effective at, like, shorthand. But if you look it up, the sentences are just nonsense. Me, I, you know, it sounds like old McDonald, E-I-E-I-O, you know?
Yes.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. And it does prove that you really shouldn't always set AI loose and wild on certain aspects. Like, you know, people are working on weapons, for example. Do you really want them inventing their own rules? So, you know, shall we play a game and whatnot? So, yeah, there were some warning signs here, but I wouldn't call this like, oh my gosh, the Terminator, it took control, we had to shut it down.
But the potential, I mean, even though this was kind of innocuous, the potential for something far worse is certainly that you could see why somebody could be alarmed by this, right?
Yeah. And it certainly is weird to think, what, a computer invented its own language? It's good at that. Now they're going to conspire against humanity.
Yeah.
and I think it does show a lot of what if, but in this particular case, Facebook wasn't scared, I would say. Mm-hmm. They just simply were bored.
Oh, all right.
All right, yeah. I have a question for you. There was an update that came over on my iPad and iPhone. I don't have an iPod.
They're going to stop, speaking of those really quickly, they're going to stop making the Nano and the Shuffle.
Haven't they stopped making
those?
No,
they just, yep. the other day, right?
It's the end. Yeah, last week, that was the big news.
That's it.
End of the Shuffle, end of the Nano. The only iPod that exists in name is that iPod Touch, which is just an iPhone without the phone. So, yeah, like the age of the screenless, you know, Apple product is over. It was the last that were not internet connected. And I think that they just want to push you to buy those Apple watches and play your music off those if you're going to go running.
My kids use their old iPhones that in the old days you would buy it. And you didn't have to rent it like you do now.
Mm-hmm.
So when they got a new phone, they would just keep their old one, and that's what they use as iPods at this point.
Yep, it's smart.
I use my iPod as an iPod.
That's which crazy.
I know. Everybody thinks it's crazy.
Well, there was an update that came across. I noticed it yesterday or maybe the day before, and I always like to check with you first. It's an update to the EOS, Bill.
Oh.
The iOS.
Oh, you have me.
Is it safe to do?
I like how you always ask me because you never know. And this time, no bad reports. Sounds like it's an easy, small one to do. I think when you have to be a little more concerned is when it's a really big one, like you start to see people report, a new update is coming, it's going to change everything on the phone. These smaller ones are really just about, like, oh, we fixed a glitch, oh, we patched this hole. So, yeah, this one's clear that this one's not going to break your phone. It's the bigger ones that I always tend to wait a few days on.
All right, and I hate to be all Apple, but it seems like everything is Apple. There's been a leak about the new iPhone 8. Are they going to call it 8 or X?
There are so many rumors on, there could be the 7S and the 8, but maybe they won't call it 8 at all because it's the big 10th year anniversary. Maybe they'll just call it iPhone Pro. You never know what they're going to throw out, but there is some solid sourcing on what we do know from the rumors. This top-of-the-line phone, some code was out in their speaker that referenced the phone and what it can do. So Apple, in its code for its speaker, kind of gave away some of the secrets that it will be able to detect your face and unlock the phone with your face. There's no home button on the front. We've heard that for a while, but the code also confirms that. Now, does that mean you're going to unlock your phone with just your face? Is there going to be any thumbprint at all on there?
That would hurt.
That would definitely hurt.
Yeah. Oh, you mean, well, I mean the image, the camera, camera people.
Okay.
Backing your nose on there. Although, yeah. hold on, I have to pay for this and smack your nose. So we have confirmation that it's going to be a big screen, no home button on the bottom, but will there be any sort of thumbprint? You know, that wasn't confirmed. But yeah, face detection in there and something like called tap to wake. So maybe if your phone's asleep, you could just like tap the screen quickly. It'll be awake. We'll have to see. But usually this kind of phone is revealed in the first or second week of September. They haven't set a date yet.
All right, is there any non-Apple news that's going on in the world?
I have another phone story. It's kind of spooky. Amazon pulled its best-selling phone. It's a phone you probably never heard of. It's called the Blue, or Blue is the company that makes them. They're really cheap. They're Android. $60.
Bill, this is right up your alley.
That's about what I would like to spend, yeah. But they've pulled it already.
Well, they pulled it because for that cheap price, your information is being sent to China.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a little bit of a downer there.
Maybe what are they doing with them, my information, if I had information?
Okay, so security researchers found back in November that the hot-selling Blue phone had some spyware on it that was recording your texts and what you were doing, and that information was going to China for some reason. And the company goes, oh, this is just a mistake. We're going to fix it. So they fixed on that one model. But then researchers last week found it on other types of Blue phones. And in light of that news, Amazon just pulled it. This was its best-selling phone, but Amazon said, nope, we're going to review it. So they halted it. The page is still up. It just says unavailable. The company insists it's not spyware. Yeah, every company gathers your data. You know, we're not doing something spooky here. But there's no understanding of, like, okay, if you're collecting things, what is it for? You know, so you should have red flags go up for anything like this, regardless of what the company says. The reason it was so cheap is because it was a phone that Amazon partnered with to put ads on the lock screen. So it was $60 because every time you turn on the phone, there's a big Amazon ad on the front, and then you have to click through that.
Is that terrible? I don't know. Why is that bad? I'm trying to figure out why that's bad.
Why is it bad to get an ad? No, it's not. It's just something that...
It's an intrusion.
And Amazon partnered with this phone, so, you know, they just because Amazon partners with something, you know, people kind of go, oh, this sounds good.
Yeah.
Good deal. Must be trustworthy. You know, keep your suspicions up on things. Do your homework. You know, the news on them having spyware has been out since November, but it's only until it was out again that Amazon goes, oh, I guess we should pull them all and re-review these, you know? So companies don't always care about your privacy like you do.
And you said this was their best-selling phone, right, Bridget?
Yes.
Because it was cheap.
For $60.
We reviewed it on CNET. It was basic. It the best part about it was the price, and it did its job.
Could you do any fun things on it?
You could, but China would be onto you.
Yeah, they
are already
for $40.
Me.
They send it to Panda Express. That's an even better deal.
Hey, if they could figure out I want orange chicken about twice a month,
they know you want it.
All right,
they know.
Bridget, you may not know the answer to this question, and I hate to throw this at you, but I just want your opinion on something. And you have a baby who will sometime get to the age where she will start college. I have to buy textbooks for my son, and they have an option where you can buy the actual textbook, which is like $326 for this one class, or you could get the digital version of the textbook, which is $100 cheaper. And in my opinion, don't you think the digital textbook would be better in the sense if you wanted to search something, you punch it in and it comes up easier than, you know, looking through the book? Also, you don't have to carry a heavy book in your book bag. I just wondered your thoughts on that.
Go with always with the cheaper option. Textbooks are crazy expensive and it adds up so fast and it's ridiculous because when you resell it, you get like $20. If you have a good tablet or one of those laptops that has the top that folds back. So it depends on your learning style, right? If you want to hold that book, well, hold that tablet in a way that maybe you have a touch screen with a highlighter stylus. You know, like I know friends who, like we didn't have this, you know, digital books back then were terrible when I went to college. And, you know, I always wanted to have that highlighter in my hand and
yeah,
learn that way. So if you have a kid that learns that way, make sure you have a computer to read it on that they can kind of scribble notes on or do whatever in that regard. So that way, you know, if it kind of sinks in better. And here's another one I throw out at you. No one ever talks about it, but you can get older versions of the same textbook for so much cheaper. The only downside is that if their teacher says turn to page 10, you might have to like fiddle and like turn to page 12 and then ask the professor, hey, is anything different from the 10th version versus, you know, version 15? And they might go, oh, I think this chapter changed. And at least you can know ahead of time if you can save a lot of money by getting an older, outdated version.
A textbook shouldn't cost, you know, upwards of $300, but then the digital version shouldn't only be $100 off.
I know,
it's not costing them. I mean, it's the copyright.
Right.
And I get that, but you shouldn't be paying anywhere near that.
I can't
that.
Even remember what, I think it was for a history course. It's
yeah.
either history or math, but I couldn't believe the price of the book on that.
It's a lot of money.
It is.
And then check how much they are for used. You got to do a little bit of searching, because if it's used in the same version or just one version off, definitely go for that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's five versions old or maybe then a chapter's off, you know, you might not want to do that.
And you mentioned the touchscreen laptops. I got one a couple laptops ago, and I never used the touchscreen. And I noticed that they went away for a while, and now touchscreen computers are back. Is that what the benefit of it if you're reading something or doing something? Because some of the new computers, there's an HP Spectre that we're looking at that has a stylus that comes with it. So is that when you're talking about circling the things in the book and stuff?
Yeah, it depends on the software too, right? Because you could say, oh, it's a touch screen, but the software doesn't let you scribble or, you know, highlight.
Yeah.
Get to know the Microsoft programs. They all have that. Get to know what kind of stylus pen is available. You don't want to do it with your finger. You know, that way, if it's lightweight, you carry your backpack and just kind of fold it and go. Get a feel for it in the store, you know, doing some doodling.
I'm going to doodle.
You should definitely doodle. Now, Bridget, I know that we don't normally turn to you for film reviews, but I'm just curious because I know you like science fiction movies so much. Why is Valerian getting such awful reviews? Did you see it?
Oh, I have a baby. I don't see movies.
Oh.
It's my time on that. Like, oh my gosh. It's. You have to really ask, have you looked at the poster? It's like some mishmash of every single sci-fi movie without any purpose. There's like a little bit of Star Wars and Battlestar in there.
I mean, yeah.
It's like they like took everything that was hot from everything in sci-fi and go, let's all mash it together. And I think there's just weak. I'm like, oh, there's a kid hero. I don't think people are really sold on it.
That's the problem.
I just read the headlines, how bad it was.
I kept seeing previews for it. And with every movie I would go to, they would show a preview of this movie. And I go, this looks outstanding. I can't wait to see it. And I couldn't find a good review anywhere. Every review
it does look good in the trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
So people don't like kid stars? How did Boss Baby do so well then? Because Alec Baldwin was it?
I think because Alec Baldwin's in it. Yeah, that's why. All right, what else should we know, Bridget? Is there anything else going on that we should cover today?
Well, if you're looking into old game consoles, retro's hot again.
Yeah.
And, We have a review of the new Sega Genesis machine and the Atari.
Sega!
And I would say, the Sega one, it's a little disappointing.
Really?
Well, yeah, it's $80. It's only good if you have your old cartridges, because the ones, the games that it comes preloaded with are so lame and just few. So if you have, like, your favorite games, like, I want to play my favorite Madden game or whatever, they aren't even preloaded on this stuff.
But can you use your old ones? Because I have a ton of, like, Toe Jam and Earl I love. The Cool Spot 7-Up game is one of my favorites. Yeah.
Wendy, Toe Jam and Earl's my favorite.
Oh, God, I love the music.
So,
we have to play together.
All right.
You are allowed, though, to put in old games, right? You can, if you have a yeah, all right.
Yeah, it takes the old cartridges. In fact, that's what I would say it's good for. So, if your old machine broke and you want something to play the old cartridges, it does. But if you just want to, if you have nothing and you want to have the experience, that's where it's lame. It only has a few Sonic games and some random stuff on it.
All right, so here's the question, because last Christmas I saw at Toys R Us there was an Atari version of this and an Intellivision, I think a Coleco version, and they all come loaded with 20 or 25 games, but it's their worst games. Is that intentional? Why don't they put
really?
Their yeah, it's all their worst games. Why don't they figure out that we don't want to play the bad ones? Is there a reason?
Because they're banking on your nostalgia, love, and they don't have the rights to everything. So with the Sega one, it's only the ones that Sega made. It's not any Electronic Arts games, and I love those things.
Yeah.
That's why, at least in that case. But we do have a review of the Atari one and the new one that came out, so you can get a list of all the games on there and see if any tickle your fancy.
All right. And that's the Atari 2600?
I forgot.
The basic Atari, the regular one?
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
All right, we got to figure out how you and I can play online Toe Jam and Earl.
Mm-hmm.
Jammin'.
Oh, my God, yes, the little feet. I'm sorry, I'm reminiscing. You know, when I used to play this is before my husband and I were married, and we used to drink beers and play Toe Jam and Earl, and it was very fun.
I had to rent this game like 20 times from Blockbuster because I couldn't find it. And when I became a grown-ass adult, I finally bought it. So,
all right. We're both exposing our inner geek, and that's totally cool. Well, thank you so much. We can find you at CNET.com.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
All Bridget, right. Thanks so much. Have a good rest of the week.
Thanks, you too.
It's
bye.
Bridget Carey from CNET. We'll take a quick break. We've got news next. And then a lot more coming up after that. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Ryan. Pseudo Judy.
Pseudo Judy.
I have a little handy do-it-yourselfer tip that I'd like to share with people.
Is it valuable?
It really is, but I'm very disappointed in myself because when I do these types of do-it-yourself stuff, please promise me, people, that you will take a before picture.
Because why? Explain.
Because then you can see the difference.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I never remember to do that. Let me tell you what this is about. We have an old car that's a 2007.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've noticed this, if either of you have old cars, but the headlights...
Ryan drives a Studebaker, so the answer is yes.
It's true.
Do you have an older car?
I have a car that occasionally in the garage I have to sweep the rust that fell down
on.
So, yeah,
no.
It's a 2003.
There's something about these headlights that turn yellowy and kind of ugly.
Uh-huh.
It's like some kind of haze that gets over it. It's like one of our headlights on the 2007 Toyota had kind of a yellowish tinge to it, and it was kind of cloudy.
Yeah.
And I happened to be sitting at the Toyota dealership, and I was waiting...
With Tom Jenke.
No. I was waiting for our other car to be serviced, and they had this little display that had a yellowish headlight and a sparkling clean one, and it says, you know, $89 to get your lenses cleaned.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay, well, obviously there's a way to do it. So I hit the old internet.
Yeah.
And I found a solution that made my headlight go from cloudy yellow to bright white again.
A quick question. Is the $89 for all your headlights or just per headlight?
I didn't look because I thought, I'm not spending this. I'm going to do my research.
Doesn't seem like a lot if it's all your lights.
I think it's per light.
Per light? That's a lot of money.
And, you know, you think at a when they're detailing at a car dealer, they're going to just take the plastic lens off and clean that up really well. Well, I read online that with newer cars, I don't know if yours qualifies as a 2003, but
I don't think so.
I know from 2007 and on, they create, they use plastic covers for your headlights, and when they're exposed to the UV rays from the sun, they fade.
Oh.
And it's like some kind of reaction that happens. So I looked that up, and whitening toothpaste.
That's what you would use to clean it?
That's what I used, and it completely made my headlight non-foggy.
Saved you about $80 in the process.
Yes.
So you put
and
the
you
toothpaste.
Could reuse the toothpaste.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
You could. It wouldn't
are
be.
You using the whole tube?
No, but this is a Crest whitening toothpaste, so it's very expensive, and I hated to use it on that, but I thought, you know, it's still cheaper than $89.
By a lot.
So, do the whitening strips work, too?
I didn't try it.
Let's get a dentist on the line. Let's find out.
But I'm so mad at myself because I went to Jimmy Mack and I said, did you notice the headlights? And he goes, they look like the headlights. Yeah. I go, didn't you notice that it was yellow before? He goes, I got to be honest with you. I never stared it right in the headlights. I'm like, oh, my God. It was like this yellowish, foggy color. You could barely see the light behind the lens. He goes, can't tell you I noticed it. I wish you would have taken a before picture. And I was mad that I didn't. But so, you take a whitening toothpaste, and I took just...
this isn't on the bulb itself, though. It's just on the plastic.
It's on the plastic lens. Okay. You just clean the lens first to get any outside grit or dirt off of it. And then you take toothpaste, and I just put it on a towel that I didn't need, like a rag. And you buff it on in little circles like you would when you're waxing your car.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get it on the paint, but keep it on your windshield or on the actual lens. And then you let it sit for a minute and then you buff it off like you're waxing your car. And it pretty much worked. I mean, you could see on the white towel, it was all yellow and brown, and my headlight is almost as good as new. It's not perfect,
right?
But it's way better. And the reason I noticed it is because I am I pay attention when I drive, and when I use the crappy car, I noticed the headlights weren't that bright.
Mm-hmm. So how long does it take you start to finish to do it this way?
I had to do it a couple of times, I will admit.
So
probably all told a half an hour.
All right, that's not bad.
But I did it. I did
and
it the you first
saved,
time.
At least $80, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not bad at all, then.
I'm
you
very
should
proud
open
of
up
myself.
A booth.
Yeah, it's cool.
A booth?
Yeah, downstairs.
Where?
Just for in-house, just for
in
the people in the Tribune
lot?
Tower. Yeah, you could get it, like, after we're done at 1 o'clock. You know, you spend a couple of hours, you make yourself some money.
I don't want to do it that badly.
I have to tell you that toothpaste has a lot of different uses. You know, you can use it. You're supposed to use toothpaste whenever you burn yourself.
Or if you have a pimple, they say to put
toothpaste
on it.
The fluoride extracts.
Wait, why would that be?
It has astringent qualities, and it will dry things up.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that.
The burn is, I've used that quite a bit. You put a little bit of toothpaste, and then you put the Band-Aid on. This is if you do small burns, not like you sit out in the sun for 2 hours. But, you're supposed to be able to do that. It seems to work. I don't know.
I didn't know that. Well, you guys really should seriously consider opening up a little toothpaste booth. You know, Dominique Pongo has a boysenberry pie booth downstairs, and there's an open
why
space.
Why didn't I know about
it's
that?
It's been there for weeks. It's delicious. And you guys could have a toothpaste booth
I think we've got a segment for Frank Fontana this weekend.
Well, do you remember Hints from Heloise?
I do remember Hints from Heloise.
The Sun-Times, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in the Sun-Times. That sounds right.
I loved her stuff. She put out a couple of books because there are things that I find remarkable.
Yeah.
You can remove scuffs from shoes with toothpaste.
Wow.
Like if you have black patent leather shoes, which you do, Bill.
I do because I go to
I always look
school.
Up your skirt.
The gentlemen who are walking up and down Michigan Avenue and asking me if they can do my shoes.
They're
is that
fine.
What they've got?
Yeah, they're fine.
But do they have toothpaste? Is that what it is?
Probably.
No, I doubt it. They have shoe polish. And the toothpaste, white toothpaste, and it has to be white. You can't use like...
the green.
Yeah. And it has to be a whitening toothpaste because there is some abrasive in there, and that's why it rubbed off some of the yellowness on my headlight. You can clean your piano keys with it.
Oh, good. Mine are filthy from Liberace coming over after a bender. and playing our piano.
Doesn't he wash his hands before?
No, he does not. That was my beef
with
Liberace.
He is dead, so that could be a problem.
That's probably part of it.
You could allegedly prevent bathroom mirrors from fogging.
Really?
Like you'd buff it with that. I don't know how or why it works, but it does.
That doesn't make sense.
Prevent fogged goggles if you're going swimming.
I've heard that. This is still with the toothpaste.
Yep.
Though, huh?
Yeah. This is all toothpaste. Polish a diamond ring.
Ryan, you should carry a tube of Gleam in your utility belt and have it ready at all times.
I'm more of an AIM guy.
Are you more of an AIM guy?
But that's not white toothpaste. You need the white.
You need pure white.
I'm weird, though. I've got special dentist-prescribed toothpaste.
Sensitive gums, do you?
No, I don't know why, but all of a sudden
fluoride?
She's like, here, use this. It costs you $20 a bottle.
What?
I'm the only
no,
one in my family
really?
Uses it. Yeah. I got to go to Walgreens and get a prescription
specially
for
made?
It. A
you have prescription toothpaste?
Is it gluten-free?
I do. No, I don't
wait,
know.
Wait, I had no idea such a thing existed as prescription toothpaste.
Yeah, it comes in a different bottle. She's like, yeah, we really got to figure some stuff out here. Why don't you start using this toothpaste? So,
do you have to go through insurance for this?
I guess I do.
Wow.
They've got it on file, so.
I've never heard of that.
Well, then I wouldn't use your toothpaste for this stuff because it's too expensive.
No, you'll end up losing money.
I think it just takes my money away. I don't know if it does anything else.
There used to be a show on Channel 11 that had helpful hints like this, and I would watch it every once in a while. And one time I tried it, and I'll never forget this. They said that if you have a crack in, like, your table, you find a crayon that's a similar color, and you burn the wax onto it, and it'll just blend in. And they showed it on TV, and these two guys did it. And it looked like a miracle. And I watched him do it. And I go, I could do that. I could burn a crayon on a table and make it look good as new. It ruined the table.
You're burning crayons on tables anyways, right?
It absolutely ruined the table because it didn't come close. Like, I found a color. Raw umber was the name of the... You remember
that
color.
That's a furniture color.
Yeah, it's a furniture. So it matched it almost identically. It was off by like a thousandth of a degree. So I burned it on there and I did everything they said. You know, you pressed it down with a paper towel and you held it there and stuff. And it just made the table look awful.
What did your mom say?
I was an adult.
Oh.
I was pretty an adult. That does sound like something a 6-year-old would try. Hey, Mom, look, I fixed the table. No, I was already established.
The big Crayola lobbying group was the one who was pushing that for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I have to tell you, I spilled a candle once on an apartment I had, and it was white carpeting, so it was a red candle, and it's like I didn't want to get charged for that and not get my security deposit back. No. And this was before the internet, because I don't know how I even found this information. I may have gone to the library and looked at a helpful hints from Heloise book.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to take an iron with wax paper and you go over the wax.
Yeah.
And it sticks, like you pick it up and everything's on the wax paper.
Fixed.
Maybe it wasn't wax paper. Maybe it was a paper towel or something. But it's like it melted the wax from the carpet back up onto the piece of paper. And they always say, you know, if a kid gets gum in their hair, which can I tell you? I'm over 50. I know that shocks both of you.
Yes.
I have never gotten gum in my hair.
Oh,
and I've chewed. You've had it happen?
I had it happen once.
You know, sometimes.
Would you fall asleep with it in your mouth?
Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
Matter-of-factly, really?
Well, yeah, because it was like, I got to get all the way up to throw away the gum or I can enjoy it during my dream. So.
Well, they say peanut butter is the way to get it out.
I remember that.
Oh,
really?
I thought you were supposed to freeze it. Weren't you supposed to try to freeze it somehow? Like put an ice cube on it?
Your head in
the freezer? Well, that's one way to do it. Or you take an ice cube and push it against it and try to harden it and then pull it off that way.
Is that true?
I don't know. It didn't work for me.
I could see your mom already. Oh, we're already buying him prescription toothpaste. What else could possibly go wrong with our son?
All right, well, Bill, this is something, and I have a table at our house with a ton of rings on it, drink rings, you know? And I have heard to rub olive oil in there, and it'll get rid of the ring. I tried that 2 days ago. It did not work. But now it says you leave coasters around, but some people just won't use them to get rid of those telltale watermark rings left by sweating beverages.
Yes.
Gently rub some non-gel toothpaste on the wood with a soft cloth, then wipe it off with a damp cloth, let it dry, and then polish your furniture.
So toothpaste will fix almost anything.
How could it be good to put in our mouths if it does all this stuff?
You know, when I tore my calf muscle a couple months ago, Wendy, the doctors quickly... No, it's a long story.
Okay.
But the doctors quickly just sprayed toothpaste all over my leg, and it did make a bit of difference. What cruel doctors I had.
They have $300,000 in student loans.
No, they did.
Still owed to them.
Jill, what are you laughing about, Jill?
Oh, he's so funny.
Thank you.
Actually calling about the whole ironing and candle thing.
Yeah. Is this true?
It super works. And Wendy, you're right. Wax paper, a book, and you iron over the wax paper, and you have to have a lot of wax paper. And you just keep peeling it off and peeling it off and peeling it off. I had a friend who, I don't know why they had candles on their pontoon boat, but you know, that's that kind of indoor-outdoor carpeting.
Yes.
And they hit a wave. I don't know what they were thinking. And it went everywhere. And we ran down with an extension cord, and it took us about 45 minutes. Hmm. But after 45 minutes and a dull knife, a butter knife.
Yeah, yeah.
And you scrape over the top of it, and we must have gone through a half a roll of that, you know, that wax paper from no one ever uses anymore.
Right. That's the part I left off. That you do have to kind of scrape it up with a butter knife, and then you put the wax paper over it. It's like you're loosening up so there's little bits of wax.
Oh, sure.
And it totally cleaned it
and
up.
It worked.
I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, her husband actually had the pontoon, like, estimated how much it would cost to replace it. And I just wanted to go, well, can I have a third of that?
It's expensive.
Well, toothpaste isn't...
And later I showed my daughter-in-law how it worked, too. Because that whole, they love candles, and there's always, they're clumsy. You know, it's for clumsy people.
It must be for... Jill, do me a quick favor. Ryan has to get prescription toothpaste. Please visit his GoFundMe page on WGNRadio.com.
I've had to do that, too.
For what reason?
Why?
I had a nerve problem. Is Ryan's a nerve problem?
No, he's got some nerve.
I can't remember what it was. I do.
I had a nerve problem, and it was some kind of thing that if you brush your teeth with this stuff, it filled out whatever inflammation the nerve was feeling, and it got rid of the problem. Ryan, I hope you get rid of the problem, too.
Mine was my gums. They're like trying to fight back my gums.
Really?
I think is what it is.
Oh!
Yeah, that's not good.
My gums, they're receding a little bit because I clench my teeth, and there's a lot of pressure involved in that. So I actually had to use prescription toothpaste, too, for a while.
I'm not alone.
I forgot about it.
I'm the only person.
Well, my son had to have the surgery. My son had to have the surgery because of that.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know it got that serious. Well, as long as it worked. All right.
It did. He was 19, and it really, really, really worked. So, anyway, Wendy's right. Use an iron.
It does work with an iron.
Thanks, Jill.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Do you go to the dentist?
Yeah, I visit the dentist. Yeah.
They've never tried to tell you
lately
to use specialty toothpaste? You obviously have no problems.
I guess not. I've been lucky.
They sell me everything. They see me come, and they're like, oh, you need this $170 toothbrush. Oh, okay. You need this water pick. All right, fine.
Do you know where I'm that vulnerable is whenever I go to a place to get my oil changed, they show me parts of the car
your
that I don't even know where.
Needs.
They go, I'm not telling you what to do. Do you have kids? Yeah. You love them? Yeah, I love my kids. I wouldn't drive them in a car with this. And then they show me it's a tube and a filter. And I go, oh, my
and
God.
I have a $19 coupon. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay, thank you. That'll be $89.
I know. Everything's expensive. But everything they show me, they go, where do you live? 4 miles away? I wouldn't drive home on this.
Right.
All right.
Or they make you feel real, real bad and just go, yeah, it may last a week or two, but you're here.
You could go home on it, but, you know, your car could burst into flames. Oh, then please fix it.
I got to tell you, I never leased a car before in my life until this current one we have.
Yeah.
And it sucks because you always have car payments. It's something really exciting when you've paid off your loan and you own the car.
Mm-hmm.
But the last car we traded in for this new one was smoking on the way to turn it in. So you keep your car so long, you don't have car payments, but you don't really trust it for long trips anymore. So when you lease a car, I had to take it in for an oil change yesterday. Everything is covered. They said, oh, yeah, this is oil change time, and this is the time where we're supposed to rotate your tires and do this and do that. And I said, what's the charge for that? Nothing. It's part of your And I mean, you do
it's
pay
all
for
free,
it.
Isn't it?
It's not
all
free.
Do they give you a car wash afterwards?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But I mean,
you're making out like a bandit.
Oh.
But seriously, every car I've ever purchased, you pay. You know, you can get it for 6 years, sometimes 7 years now. I think with
a loan, you can. I mean,
yeah,
a loan. Yeah.
So I would always pay the monthly payment, and then after those years, it was just so awesome to not have that car payment.
Sure.
But really, then that's when everything started going wrong.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah.
It's a miracle how it figures it out, doesn't it?
Yeah. So that's now crazy. I'm like, you know, leasing, yeah, you have a payment every month, but I don't know, some of the stuff that's included is kind of all worth it.
Yeah.
And you can trade it in and you can trust your car.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, when we drove our Jeep in to trade it in, it was literally smoking.
On the way there?
Yeah. I'm like, get rid of it. Jim pulled it over a couple blocks away to let it cool down.
Wow.
So we could bring it in.
Wow.
But then they just take money off the other car. It's not, you're not really getting a lot for a trade-in on that anyway.
We had a van that we bought when the girls
were... From Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, we bought the Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine.
Yay.
So we had it, I'd say, 2 years too long.
You had a van?
Yeah. And can I tell you what sold us on the van? I know this sounds ridiculous, but it was the first year you could get a TV in the back seat.
Yeah.
And the girls were almost one.
Perfect.
So to us, we went, this is the greatest thing.
Yep.
Like, no matter what else it did or didn't do, didn't matter to us. It was a TV that drove around.
Did you sit in the back a lot?
Sometimes, yeah. I'd let the babies drive and I would just sit in the back and I'd watch Star Search. So at the end, like when we got rid of it, like I said, we had it about 2 years too long. Even though you could turn the wheel left or right, the car itself wouldn't turn.
That creates a bit of a problem.
We could only go places that were straight.
Did the TV still work?
Yeah, the TV worked great.
You still have it? Did you take it with you?
No, you know
you can have everything, but the TV's mine.
The TV stays with us. But I kept saying, because the guy wanted to test drive it.
And you're like, no.
And I'm like, hey, I would drive it from here to there. I pointed at a place that was straight. You could drive it to there, but I wouldn't go that way or that way, but straight is really good.
But that's what I mean. You always think, I'm going to buy a car because then at the end of that, I have something to trade in to put towards a new car. But we all keep, I know in the past, we all keep cars so long that when you go for the trade in, it's not worth anything.
I know.
That's the thing. Mine right now, I mean, I'm just waiting until it dies. I mean, I'm not going to get anything back for it, and it's running, so.
Yeah.
Why not?
So
it's got 120,000 miles on it. It's got rust stains. I mean, it's...
But you've been in cars, I bet. 120 is a lot of miles, but haven't...
Not anymore.
I've been in people's cars that are around twice that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we have a Toyota Corolla. It's 2007. It's got 164,000 miles. We just got it fixed. It was about $1,000, I told you.
Yeah.
But the guy's like, it's going to go for like at least 250. 250,000 miles, and it's just, it's like a second car, so we
and
don't
CarMax
put a lot.
CarMax will give you like $200 for it when you trade it in,
so
you might as well just hang on to it.
Yeah, and I have, if my 18-year-old ever gets a license, maybe he could drive it.
Yeah. Why do Toyotas seem to last the longest? What are they doing right that just makes them last longer than any other car?
I don't know, and the synthetic oil they use, you only need oil changes like every 10,000 miles.
Yeah, yeah. It's made
it's
it a lot
so
easier.
Much better. But yeah, I mean, Bill, when we got this car, I said, I leased it. And you're like, yeah, I don't know. And I didn't know. I've never leased a car before in my life. But when I saw that Jeep smoking when we brought it in for a trade-in, it's like, what good was it that we had nothing as collateral, you know, to put down towards a new car?
I've always been leery of them. The leases, and I know for some people that's their move all the time. They always lease them. And then they changed the rules about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, where you don't have to put down, you're not taxed on the full price like you used to be, which makes
it
a much
save
more
you that much.
It can. Yeah, it can save you a bunch.
It's the least you can do.
It. You sound like the woman who does the TV commercials for that.
I hear she's great.
Just a little bit.
She's
I think
all
David
over,
Jennings
man.
Does it, doesn't he? I don't know who does it. I'm confused. The other thing, quickly, speaking of helpful hints, is I see this online all the time, and it must be true because it's on the internet, is that you can use Coca-Cola to clean almost anything.
Your toilets?
Yeah, your engine, which I personally have never cleaned my engine, but if I was going to, I would use Coke to clean it.
I wouldn't.
Because they just show it, like, they'll show an engine that's all rusty, and then they put Coke on it, and it looks like it was just produced. And then I think, wait, that's the same thing I drink sometimes.
Exactly, because they did an experiment. I remember this years ago. They put, like, a rusty nail in a glass of Coke, and it completely...
It cleaned it?
Yeah. But I'm hoping it doesn't stay.
You better load up today because, you know, the Cook County Sweet and Beverage Tax kicks in tomorrow. So.
Ryan, I guarantee you, and I already saw this over the weekend because I did some shopping in Jewel, and there were already people buying what I'm imagining is two or three or four times the amount of sweetened beverages than they normally would because the deadline is tomorrow. And I have to be honest, I even bought, like, I don't drink much pop at all anymore, like almost none, but I do like the occasional San Pellegrino, like the blood orange or the grapefruit or something like that.
Now that's going to be taxed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much any beverage.
I mean, non-sweetened iced tea is the only thing that's...
Yeah. And those LaCroix, maybe? Some of those aren't good.
Now, that shouldn't be, because that's club soda with a little bit of just like the smallest trace amount of flavoring. So that shouldn't be.
Anything with flavor is getting taxed.
Oh. Flavor Flav?
He's getting taxed.
He's getting taxed? Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I think it was Steve Bertrand, maybe, who
he's
pointed out.
He should. He's sweet.
He's not, really. I love him, but he's really not.
Money.
Yeah, you're
right.
He
should be the opposite.
I think it was him, but like, or Eric Zorn, that's who it was. You could go to Starbucks and get like your Frappuccino, and you aren't getting extra tax for that, but if you go get the pre-made one that's in a bottle,
then
you get
a problem.
That is totally wrong.
They've got problems with the refills too. How much are you charging people? Are you going to allow people to go back and get refills if you go to the fountain itself? You know, so are you going to recharge these people? Are you going to charge
if
them
if it's
in
free
advance?
Refills? They're not charging you for it anyway, so you shouldn't pay the tax on that.
I mean, the question, though, is who's getting the tax? Is it the retailer who gets taxed or it's the people? I think the people get taxed, obviously, but that's pretty much a return from the retailer.
Right. Kevin, get us Tony Preckwinkle. We have a minute and 10 seconds left.
This was not well thought out. What about the poor people who have a store in Cook County and right across the street is DuPage County?
Well, where would you shop?
The one thing I will argue, and I do not think that Preckwinkle or Cook County sold this right, is these kind of taxes have worked well on the bag tax. Look, we'll walk across the street to Walgreens. No one will get a bag, right?
Right.
You don't do that anymore. Cigarette taxes have gone up. Smoking has gone down 25%. They didn't sell this as we're doing this for your health tax.
Right.
They sold this as we need money for the county tax.
But
I think they lost everything out of that. And, you know, which is weird because New York has done this. Other municipalities have done this before. You'd think that they would at least have some kind of framework to go by on doing this.
But no.
It shouldn't count in fountain drinks, in my opinion.
It shouldn't count.
But seriously, are you going to go to DuPage County to get a Coke? I mean...
Well, we're having a graduation party coming up. Yeah. I'll tell you,
but
I'm going to go somewhere else to go get soda. Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you that the other counties are probably looking at the same thing. I mean, we've seen this with gas taxes as well. Indiana just raised their gas tax 10 cents. So
this
idea that you fill up when you cross the border and come back in. I mean, all the counties are doing cigarette taxes now, too. So it's probably just a matter of time before everyone's doing this sweetened beverage tax.
That good news comes to you from Ryan Burrow.
The good news guy.
A man who buys prescription toothpaste. We'll take a quick... Thank you for hanging out, Ryan. We'll take a quick break and then close things off. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. As Ken Hawk Harrelson would say, Wendy, this show is over. OVA. Latin for egg. This show is an egg.
Oh, ova.
Ova.
I'm like, what? I thought you said Ova Bouvier. I don't know what
I thought
you
Ova
said.
I didn't say Ova Bouvier.
That's a pretty name.
That's Jacqueline Kennedy's
maintenance. No. No.
Let's stop. We must stop before somebody gets hurt. Thank you for listening, everybody. Tomorrow's the Wednesday show. Prince Spaghetti for everybody.
Yeah.
Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.